This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That bye week was fun. Let's do it every weekend, huh? Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Top of the morning, DR.
Just a good sports weekend. Just a good fall sports weekend. No sweating. Just
good weather weekend, too.
Good weather, yeah. A little bit chilly in the morning, but that's fine. It gives way to autumn's gentle caress. I love the fall so much. Again, summer's for Instagram models and children. The fall is for grown men.
It's did my the move. Best. I the opened best. Up my front and my back door yesterday. Got a little chilly in the house. Then I would close the doors.
Just the wind sweeping through.
Light some candles and then open the doors again. I did the bit. I loved it. It all started on Saturday. What a game, LSU-Alabama. We talked about it on Friday. This was kind of must-watch television if you're a sports fan, even if you don't care that much about college football. And it's, I told you, if Joe Burrow lit up Alabama, it was going to be on like Donkey Kong. Your boy is very enamored with Joe Burrow. I think he's going to go number one overall. I'd be very surprised if he didn't. I don't know how or why he wouldn't. He looks the part. He's got the perfect quarterback body. He's got all the tools. He's athletic as hell. Threw for 393 and 3 against that NFL caliber defense in the SEC of Alabama.
Yeah, what SEC is this? The one where they score almost 100 points in the game?
87 combined points.
What the hell are we talking about here? But it got off to that, you knew what kind of day it was going to be when Tua scrambles, looks like he's got a shot at the end zone, he starts shaking people, and then just drops the ball. He had the ball, and then he dropped it. I don't know what happened. I don't know if a gust of wind. I don't know if he was just thinking about how lovely the fall is or whatever. But that's how the thing got going. And then LSU throttled them up and down the field. Alabama comes back. But, you know, LSU holds on. That was marquee, man. That was big time.
Sunday, we had a great day of NFL action we could break down as well. Going through some of what stood out in the National Football League. I think you got to start with the Baltimore Ravens, in terms of maybe the most impressive team, most impressive win of the weekend. They ran an option to Robert Griffin III. They called it like their Heisman formation, where they had Mark Ingram, Lamar Jackson, and Robert Griffin in the jumbo backfield. Ingram kind of fakes a dive ahead. Jackson rolls out to his right with Griffin way out wide and eventually pitches to him for what was a 9-yard carry. And a first down. Griffin ended up playing and going 3 of 5 and throwing a pick. But before that, Lamar Jackson had a perfect quarterback rating. 3 touchdown passes, 15 of 17, 223. Just throwing to wide open receivers all day. Ran 7 times for 65 yards. The Ravens offense is working. They hung 49 on the Bengals. They won by 36.
I mean, listen, Cincinnati's terrible. And so a couple of the great performances where he's had perfect quarterback ratings, huge rushing totals, big games, or against Miami and Cincinnati. Nobody's saying you write home about those performances. Even with those caveats, though, what Lamar Jackson did yesterday was unbelievable. That 47-yard touchdown run probably should have been a gain of about 4 through a couple different people, but he's superhuman. He's so fast. He's so quick. He sees 2-3 moves ahead. Amazing.
It was Vickish, man.
Yeah, it was. That's exactly what it was.
He hit the circle button on the Madden controller.
It's a second down and 3. Jackson takes it himself. Look at him dart back and forth. Oh, he broke his ankles. Now he's got an entourage, and he's got a touchdown. He is Houdini. What a play. 47-yard touchdown run by the magical quarterback, Lamar Jackson. Wow.
4 touchdown game. Baltimore is up to now the second team in the conference in the AFC as they lead the AFC North.
That Heisman Trophy note, for the first time since 88, 3 Heisman Trophy winners on the field at the same time. To my knowledge, the first time they've been in the backfield together. Right?
How could that have happened?
The Raiders with Marcus Allen, Bo Jackson, and Tim Brown, that's a pretty good set of weapons. But those 3 guys lining up in the backfield, like, look to your left, Heisman. Look to your right, Heisman. Ready, break.
If the Ravens were the most impressive team in the AFC, maybe the Vikings come up with the biggest win in the NFC on Sunday Night Football last night. Kirk Cousins throws for 220 and two without any turnovers. He's up to 18 touchdowns and three interceptions on the season as the best quarterback rating in football. I love watching Dalvin Cook, who rushed for 97 and ran hard, had a touchdown in the game, also went for 86 through the air on seven receptions out of the backfield. The Cowboys have a stunningly excellent pass rush, and the Vikings caught them a few times with perfectly designed and called screens right when they needed to. But I thought the story of this game was Dak Prescott was amazing. I haven't seen him look that good in a long time. 397 and three.
Carved up Minnesota's defense.
Now, the Vikings defense is overrated. I mean, frankly, they just aren't as good as people like to claim that they are. And right now, they are injury riddled. Lintball Joseph was not available last night. He was stuck in the dryer chute. And they had some other problems as well where they didn't have guys on the field. But the Vikings defense can be had, as we've seen in recent weeks now. But they've won some shootouts. Ezekiel Elliott, 20 runs, 47 yards. You stop him, you win. The Cowboys have never won a game when he's averaged less than 3 yards a carry during his time with the team.
And thank goodness they decided to go back to him when Minnesota was playing the allow constant catches in front of our cornerbacks defense in the second half. Dallas marches down the field, has a great opportunity to score, gets a, I think it was like a second and short, hands it off to Ezekiel Elliott a couple times, results in that fourth down play. Thank goodness. Thank goodness for those decisions.
Dalvin Cook, just shy of 100, continues to run his way up the rankings among running backs.
Inside the 2, clock running down. They're going to have to run a play before the end of the quarter. Play clock at 6. And they give it to the main man, and that's Cook, and he takes it in on a fourth and goal on the final play of the third quarter with the extra point still to come.
Al Michaels, NBC Football Night in America last evening. You know what game surprised me? The Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Rams. In a Roethlisberger-less world with Mason Rudolph at the controls, and we're talking about finding a way to get Dwayne Haskins comfortable, just make him look okay. Mason Rudolph threw for 242 and a touchdown. Just a game-managing 22 of 38-ish performance yesterday. They only scored 17. They scored 3 points after halftime, and they beat the Rams by 5. Jared Goff was horrendous. The Rams' offense stunk. Goff, no touchdowns, 2 picks. He's having a bad year. He's regressing. This offensive line is scuffling. Sean McVay has an issue he's got to iron out very quickly. And he's got the Seahawks and the 49ers who play tonight.
Yeah, I don't know what you do.
Both juggernauts in that division still on his schedule a few more times. They're 5-4, but so is Pittsburgh. You talk about two identical records that feel very different. I look at the Steelers and I think, Coach of the Year candidate, Mike Tomlin. I look at the Rams and I think, oh my goodness, what's going on?
Yeah,
with that
the trees team? Are falling. They traded for Micah Fitzpatrick. The Steelers did. He has been a difference maker and then some.
He's
another
been the
touchdown.
Best player on defense in the league since that trade.
And remember, the Rams did not score a touchdown in this game. Dante Fowler scored the touchdown. The offense didn't score,
rather. Great point.
They scored a field goal. They got a field goal from the offense, a touchdown and a safety from their defense, and lost. The Rams. You think if I told you before the season, or even a couple weeks ago, the Rams are going to play a game, they get a defensive score and a safety, you're going, well, they'll probably put up 50, right? This Steelers defense, all of a sudden, with a bunch of first-rounders, are playing pretty damn well, and that's how they're winning. It's Mason Rudolph, just don't screw us, and we'll find a way to, you know, spread the ball around a little bit to a couple different receivers. No Juju Smith-Schuster. No, he's not being featured anymore. It's Washington. It's Johnson. It's McDonald. It's, you know, a cadre of running backs. It's basically about how good their defense is playing.
Yeah, Minka Fitzpatrick in the running for Defensive Player of the Year at this point.
Goff, pressure coming. Throw, knocked away, and intercepted. It's another Steeler takeaway. And that's how it goes. And it's Minka Fitzpatrick who had the go-ahead touchdown earlier on a fumble return. Just sealed it for the Steelers.
Chris Myers on Fox yesterday. Your boy's not big on announcer on announcer crime. I don't really like when people like over talk about or club other broadcasters. I'll say this, though, just from an analytical critique standpoint, I guess, watching all the games yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
When I say I watched all the games, You can ask the wife and the baby. I watched all the games. Chris Myers struggles a little bit. As far as all the broadcast crews right now, I don't even know who he's with. I don't remember, but that was a decent matchup. Rams, Super Bowl last year, Steelers, huge following, huge fan base. I thought the same thing when he was calling the Redskins game last week, and he said like three or four times that Dwayne Haskins had just thrown his first NFL
His first career pass. Nope.
Stop doing that.
It's not true.
There's too much prep goes into this, and I know he does, and I know it was just kind of a Freudian slip, but it was odd. Those are some of the teams that impressed us. We can continue next down that path. Who was disappointing, though? What stood out to you negatively in yesterday's NFL action? We're just getting started at the bottom of the hour. Jeff Bezos apparently wants to own a team. What does that mean for football in D.C. long term, if anything? And as we continue today on Grant and Danny, a list came out on the greatest TV show characters ever. We'll give you some of ours. You're locked into your flagship home with the Nats and the Cats.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
Great news yesterday if you were a Redskins fan. The Cowboys lost, so that was neat. So did the Giants. That was also fun. Nobody in the NFC East won, and the Redskins didn't lose. Here's the bad news. Wasn't a whole lot of it. Because the 3 1-win teams in football that you would have preferred win yesterday all did.
Come on with it.
The Falcons somehow beat the Saints. More on that in a second. That was the biggest surprise of the weekend.
Great game, Falcons.
The Dolphins are tanking poorly. They have won 2 consecutive games. Ryan Fitzpatrick, by the way, he's super likable. He's out of the game with a concussion protocol checkup in the blue tent on the final drive, and he knows he's got to get back on the field or else they're not going to have a chance to score a touchdown. And so he's just yelling at every doctor around him, trying to tear down the blue tent yesterday. He finally runs out of the blue tent to run out on the field as they're about to punt.
Like, you can go ahead and get in line at the buffet, sir. And he like sprints there first.
He's like, what happened? You literally see him asking somebody, what happened? They're like, we're kicking. And he just like takes his helmet off in disgust. But they somehow managed to hang on and beat the Colts, who were down to their third quarterback, Brian Hoyer, yesterday. And then you also had a New York Jets win over the New York Giants in East Rutherford, even though Daniel Jones played a pretty good game. So here we are. 3 1-win teams tied with the Redskins in the win column. All get dubs. Washington all alone. Only the horrendous Cincinnati Bengals. I don't think they're going to be caught.
They're 0-9. They're too good.
They're too good to be caught.
They're too good. They got too big a lead first. Yeah, I think they've got the inside track. The schedule's not easy. I think they've got this thing locked up. Anything could happen. You got to stay with it in case somebody messes up and maybe they get a busted play for a touchdown somewhere. You don't know. But for the right now, it looks like they've got the inside track at it. We need to monitor some of these other 2-win teams, though, that we didn't consider before. Like, they'll just get extra wins. Maybe the Giants fall off, right? We don't know.
The Jets beating the Giants yesterday
was great.
Looking the way that they did gave me a little hope that maybe they could be a stiff challenge for the Redskins.
What offense is that?
At FedEx Field. Sam Darnold, 230 and a touchdown. Now, those aren't particularly good numbers. But when Sam Darnold and the Jets provide them, we throw a little bit of a party. You know they held Saquon Barkley to 1 yard on 13 attempts?
Oh, yeah.
If you're Adrian Peterson watching that film this week, you're going, uh-oh.
Well, both teams spend huge resources on running back. Le'Veon Bell, free agency. The Giants draft one. 61 points get scored in that game, and the running backs had very little to do with it. At least the running games didn't, right? It's about throwing the football.
Your quote of the day yesterday from Sam Darnold of the 2-7 Jets.
We need every win from now on, you know, because we still got a chance. I mean, you know, if we got on a roll here and we went out, we got a chance at the playoffs. So guys in this locker room know this. They know that, and, you know, we're really excited to, you know, continue to get back to work.
You can't go 9-7 if you don't get to 3-7
first.
Good
for you, Sam Darnold.
It's
not a
lie
if you believe
it. Number three.
Quick note, by the way, Ralph Vacchiano of SNY had a tweet that just made my heart sing. Yesterday was a great day if you're a DC sports fan, if you like the Redskins like I do. You know you're not going to get any joy from your own team this year, so you got to bask in other people's misery watching the Cowboys lose.
You're just basically being a bad friend and hoping everyone else fails.
A little shudding further. You watch the Cowboys lose in primetime. Delightful. Waft that down for me. Ralph Vecchiano said as follows. A very angry-looking John Mara did not even look up at reporters looking to talk to him after this game as he left the locker room area. I'm sure it's an era. That made me so happy. I'd love for that miserable cuss to be so sad and pissed off all the time. Screw you, sir.
Agreed. I will say that's my least favorite type of tweet, whatever that is. Like the reading the body language of the executive after a loss. Bet you got some retweets from some Giants fans.
Yeah, I don't necessarily endorse Ralph Vecchiano's process there. I just like knowing that John Mara's ticked off. Maybe something should happen the day before your free agency season where people just give you a salary cap penalty.
We talked a lot last week about, you know, Dwayne Haskins and the fact that you're going to have some good and some bad, and we talked about how Daniel Jones had come back down to earth. How about 26 of 40 for 308 yards and 4 touchdowns in a shootout yesterday? You won a couple of those games. Again, if you're watching the Giants this year and you're trying to figure out, is Daniel Jones the future? I think the answer so far is yes. Daniel Jones has a really good chance to be your franchise quarterback for a long time.
And it's the full gauntlet, right, of what it means, right? He got sacked a million times, leads the league in turnovers. He handed the ball off to Jamal Adams once, who returned it for a touchdown. But you also saw the highs. That's what it should look like. Bring me that. I can absolutely live with the crap. I can live with all the bad stuff. Give me the flashes. Give me the oh, good throw to Darius Slayton. Or give me something to Paul Richardson. Find me something that makes me hope and believe. The Giants fans have it. We do not have it right now.
15 touchdowns, 8 picks for Daniel Jones this season. You going to take that?
Yeah.
From your rookie quarterback?
Yep.
Bet you will. His performance, though, gives me a little bit of hope for Haskins against the Jets. Because they don't have C.J. Mosley in the linebacking core who's hurt. They aren't rushing the quarterback as well this year, although, as you said, they sacked Daniel Jones somehow 6 times. But for him to throw for 304, I've got a little hope that maybe Dwayne Haskins could have a breakout game this coming week.
Is there a Redskins touchdown this week? Do they break the streak of not having any touchdowns?
Absolutely. The 13-quarter stretch is over. The Giants almost scored 30 on the Jets. They're unequivocally, definitively scoring a touchdown this week. You heard it here, second or third.
Is that Monday's? Is that the first ever Monday's best bish for the following week?
Oh, that's a best bish. I'll best bish that to the heaven.
Grant, calling this right now, the Redskins score an offensive touchdown.
In fact, that's not even best bish enough, so I'll go stronger. They score 2 touchdowns
this week. Oh, my God.
The Redskins.
What are you doing over there?
They might win this week. They're 1-point favorites
at
home.
Look at this guy.
They definitely scored 2
touchdowns. You're feeling yourself a little bit after all the losses from the other teams this weekend.
That's true. The Titans somehow beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, what, KC, what are you doing here?
I can't say the Chiefs were my most disappointing team of the weekend when Patty Mahomes goes for 446 and 3 through the air. Damian Williams goes for 77. And Tyreek Hill had 11 catches for .157 and a score. So I can't say I'm disappointed in the Chiefs, but their defense is a problem. Ryan Tannehill is a big upgrade over Marcus Mariota at quarterback for the Titans. And they win a back-and-forth game with Kansas City in Nashville. They needed this one, and they got it. Tennessee, 35-32, winners over the Chiefs. Derrick Henry in this game, 188 on 23 attempts.
Phenomenal.
Last week, then won it at the gun for overtime. Butker's kick is blocked. It's picked up by the Titans. This game is over. The Titans with a signature win.
It's the blocked field goal that did it. Kansas City still, after all the trials and tribulations, had a chance to tie. I look at Tennessee and I go, they went 2-4 with Mariota. They're just much better with Tannehill. And Tannehill's not any good. We all know that, right? But the fact that he's just serviceable and that's what they needed makes you really wonder, makes you wish, and it scares you, right? You just stuck with this other guy just because. Reeks familiar, doesn't it? You stuck with this one guy just because, and you had this better option in the building. It's not as if Tannehill's been any good, but man, oh, man.
He's fine.
Yeah, he's aggressively fine. But that team is pretty decent without Mariota playing.
What happened to the Saints yesterday? They lost by 17 to the Falcons. Do you see any of this game? They couldn't do anything. They got held to 3 points through a quarter, 6 points through two, 9 points through three, and didn't score in the fourth. Alvin Kamara and Latavius Murray combined for 9 rushes for 36 yards. Drew Brees threw 45 times for just 287. Sounds like a decent day. But you're throwing almost 50 times without a touchdown?
This was my worry with them. And this is all relative. They're still good. Their defense is still very good. And they still got what they have, right? But outside, it's Thomas and Kamara. Somebody else has to do something to get a defense off of those guys on occasion. Somebody else has to make a play. Somebody else has to be a threat, whether it's deep, whatever it is. Right now, they can't throw deep. You know it's going to Thomas or you know it's going to Kamara. There's very little mystery with it. They need somebody else, whether it's a Ginn or Traquan Smith or somebody else to kind of step up more regularly.
Brian Hill, 20 carries, 61 yards, a 10-yard touchdown catch in the game. You ever heard of Brian Hill?
Yes, because I'm going, who is Hill? Because I had Devontae Freeman that I started a couple leagues.
Brian Hill from?
Oh, come on. No idea. Brian Hill's a former NBA basketball coach with the Orlando Magic.
One of last year's first-round quarterbacks went to the same school as
Duke.
Brian Hill. No, last year's.
Oklahoma. Oh, wait, last year's.
You're thinking of, like, this past.
Oh, this past
I'm talking
year.
About last year.
All right, Baker Mayfield. So, Oklahoma.
Nope.
No.
Brian Hill from?
I mean, we're going to do this for hours. I got no idea.
Lamar Jackson went to?
Louisville.
Nope. Brian Jackson from Brian Hill from? Sam Darnold went to?
USC.
Nope.
What are we doing here?
Brian Hill from?
I don't know.
Josh Allen went to?
Wyoming.
Brian Hill went to Wyoming.
Oh, I knew that.
There you are.
I knew that.
Took no time at all,
just
you see?
Just embarrassing me over here.
It took no time at all.
Who is Brian Hill?
I'll be honest with you. Never heard of that guy when I turned on the game yesterday.
I was so frustrated.
In my life, I've never heard of him.
It's the most Devontae Freeman 2019 thing where, hey, he's actually going to have a good day. He's going to get some touches. He got some touches and then promptly had to sprint off the field and not play anymore.
Well,
and
that's your mistake, Danny. You should cut Devontae Freeman.
I'm going to now, out of spite.
Yeah,
out of spite.
He's killed me in a couple of years. You know who I'll never own again? This is a hot take. But God, this guy has absolutely pummeled me multiple times. David Johnson can kick every single rock.
Killing
you
me.
Should talk about him more, by the way.
Killing me.
You should talk about how he's the best running back in the league before the start of the season. That guy sucks.
Well, he's hurt and terrible.
Yes,
he's
both
hurt,
of those
he's
things.
He's hurt and terrible
mainly
right now.
Hurt, but also terrible.
He's hurt and
but
terrible.
Here's what annoys me. When you're hurt, you don't play. And I know it, and I keep you on my bench. He's hurt and does play, and he plays 6 snaps
that's
and does
Kingsbury.
Nothing.
That's a Kingsbury. That's his thing of doing that. Remember when he was healthy, practiced all week, and got one snap, and then Chase Edmonds was so tired that he was puking in the trash can.
Pick your week.
Oh, it was
he
so
did the same thing yesterday. He touched the ball like 5 times.
And he was awful.
I'm never owning him again. Next year at the draft, he's going to be the best player available. I'm going to be on the clock, and I'll reach for Devontae Adams or some. I'll take Paul Richardson before I take that guy in the first round next year. Mark my words.
You won't take Paul Richardson in the first round.
Maybe I won't. Grant and Danny on the fan next. Could someone local here in the D.C. area with all the money who wants to be an owner.
All of it.
Get into the NFL ownership game. What would it mean for the Redskins? You're listening to the fan. Quip. My friends, makers of the Quip electric toothbrush, want you to know that the one single discovery that matters most for your dental care is simply this. If you have good habits, you're going to be fine. Teeth are going to be healthy. That means brushing for 2 minutes, twice a day, flossing regularly, no matter what brand you use. Quip makes that simple. Starting with an electric toothbrush, refillable floss, anti-cavity toothpaste, Quip's electric brush, sensitive sonic vibrations, built-in timer, 30-second pulses, guide to a perfect clean. Their floss dispenser comes with pre-marked string to help you get just enough. I mean, they've thought of everything. I absolutely love Quip. You got to join 3 million healthy mouths. And get Quip today. Starting at $25, If you go to getquip.com/2019 right now, you'll get your first refill free. That's your first refill free. GETQUIP.com/2019. Quip, the Good Habits Company. Did you eat anything delicious yesterday, Dan? What did you do with your Sunday?
Buffalo chicken in the slow cooker.
That'll do it.
Buffalo chicken in the slow cooker.
It's one way to have a Sunday. How'd the Wolfpack fare on Saturday?
Oh, buddy, we ran into a buzzsaw.
No.
We didn't know this team was out there. So the Oyster School, international school, it's a bilingual school.
You guys needed this, by the way. You were feeling your oats a little bit.
You know what? 100%. That's what I said to this group. That we basically won every other game that we played. Even though they're not keeping score, you can tell. You just kind of know. This group that we played had five different players, including a little girl that was basically doing YouTube-type tricks. Like, she was Ronaldinho-type stuff. They pass to each other. They're crossing and dropping pucks into the net. Goals into the net. They kicked the snot out of us. We also didn't play particularly well, missed a bunch of goal opportunities, so it would have been closer than the final score.
Coachable moment for the
youngsters. But I'm telling you, great teachable moment for the group. We needed this. Sometimes you get ambushed. Sometimes you get your brains beat in. That's good for you. I was proud of the group because they didn't quit. They didn't hang their head. And I told them as much after. I said, I've never been prouder of this team than I am right here today.
Hey, everybody touch somebody. Hey,
touch somebody. Hey,
everybody put a hand on somebody. Hey.
Eyes up here. Eyes on me. We on three.
Look into the heart of the friend next to you. Today's a day you'll remember forever. We'll never get beat like this again.
I told them I was proud of them because of that. Because they didn't hang their head. They didn't whine. They didn't cry. They kept coming. But man, oh man, was this team good. Tip of the cap to Coach Brian of the Oyster School 6U team. And Stoddard soccer. They were nasty, Grant. Nasty.
There were some reports that you had some issues with the referees in the game.
There are no referees. So, yes, that's me, I suppose. The coaches govern play very easily, yes.
So you're mad at yourself.
We did have one issue where I called for a sub and he wasn't ready, and there was a goal because of that.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, again,
we got to clean up the operation.
Yeah, you got to clean up the ops.
Haskins,
the ops
let's go.
Team. Yeah.
Jeff Bezos reportedly wants to buy an NFL team. My response to this was, of course he does.
Sure.
What
I like
a
toys
cash
too.
Cow the NFL is. Is there such a thing as an NFL team that has lost value even for a couple of seasons span at any point? I mean, right now, the growth of the National Football League, if you're looking at a chart, it's like walking straight up a hill. Might actually be like climbing a wall at the St. James. You can't actually walk. You just have to be attached to some, like, bungee cord and have to find the next place to put your foot. It's just straight up. So, yeah, of course that one of the smartest, best businessmen in the country, he's got to be the richest person on the planet, right? Is anybody richer right now than Jeff Bezos? He surpassed Bill Gates, I would think. He's got to be number one. Founder of Amazon, CEO. But he reportedly wants to buy an NFL team. He's spreading his tentacles all over D.C., as you know, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he owns here, but does he actually live in this area or does he live somewhere else?
You're asking a question that I don't know the answer to. I imagine he can live anywhere he wants with multiple houses and properties.
How many houses do you think he has?
10. Just a quick guess.
He's got to, right?
He's building that property on the Maldives or whatever. Yeah. So Bezos is your one seed. Gates is two. Bernard Arnault is your three seed, apparently. I don't know who that guy is, but it sounds like he's got a lot.
Up in the top three.
I don't know.
So Gates is still number two. That's almost as impressive as Bezos being number one. Bill Gates is just watching that money, and it's not going anywhere but up.
I know.
But I guess here's the question. People heard Jeff Bezos might buy an NFL team, and the first thing everybody thought about, because you've got Amazon coming to the D.C. area, him spending more and more time here, he owns the Washington Post. Well, why wouldn't he be interested in the Redskins? I'm sure he would be. However, Dan Snyder has to sell the team. Why would he do that? To me, this story is just people saying something that they want to happen that actually makes no sense. I don't know if you've seen or heard any of the reaction online, but it's a lot of people saying, Bezos should buy the Redskins from Dan Snyder.
Good luck.
I know that that's what you'd like. Dan Snyder seems to really like owning the Washington Redskins.
Yeah, this is like you're so desperate for this thing to happen, you just kind of invent a rumor? I don't even know. I don't even know what it is. I did not understand the reaction that I saw. I guess I get the hope, right? Where you feel like you're doomed. This guy is only in his 50s, is one of the worst owners in sports. is terrible at it, doesn't know that he's terrible at it, continues to make bad decisions every day. He's wrong. Everything he does is wrong. And he's also not going anywhere. This is it. I mean, that's why I've said it before and I'll say it again. I wake up every day hoping there's a scandal. I hope nobody gets hurt, but I hope there's a scandal that causes him to have to sell the team. But it's not going to happen. He is going to keep this team in his family forever. He saw the mistake that Jack Kent Cook made. We're doomed. This is it. It's that guy. You only hope that he figures out that you can't have incompetent yes men around you and you let football people do it.
I need a history lesson at some point. Today's not the day. From Rick Snyder or someone like David Elfin, who was around too. I don't understand how the Redskins weren't kept in the Cook family. Was there a relationship issue with he and John? Or
yeah.
How does that even happen?
It's one of those things that at the time didn't seem that crazy. And maybe I was too young to really comprehend why it wasn't that, why it was, you know what I mean?
If you look at the monumental sports, like Zach Leontsis is going to own everything at some point, you have to imagine.
And he's increased his responsibility and how 100%. Things he's managing and different stuff. And it's like he's the apprentice. That
Even
makes sense.
Even Peter Angelos with his kids, who weren't involved for a long, long time, has kind of ceded power now. And John Angelos is running more and more of the Orioles.
Yeah, Genie Buss with the Lakers. I mean, that's what you do.
It's very odd that did not happen. But again, that's probably it for another day. I think Bezos will own an NFL team, though.
Mm-hmm. He'll step in somewhere.
There's going to be a team at some point that gets sold for one reason or another. Maybe it's Carolina Panthers style. I hope not. But where the owner gets ousted for doing something shady. You know, maybe it's just the business. At some point, someone's money dries up or they decide they want to get out for whatever reason. Maybe they don't have kids or someone they want to give the team to. And they mm-hmm. say, I'm good. Washing my hands of this. I've had a good run. But my thinking is, if you're as sharp a businessman as he is, of course you'd own an NFL team at some point.
If you got the cash at your disposal, and you don't need however many billions on hand to live your life, right? Where a lot of people have to leverage themselves with debt, they can be part of an ownership group. And I mean, that's the way Snyder was. Snyder's just the front man of a big group of people, right? And so he's got this minority owner team, and he put up some cash, but he put himself leveraged in debt, et cetera. If you just have the cash on hand where you're the only guy and you don't need that money to live, it's the best investment you can make. It's just sitting on a pile of money, and you also still get things from it as you go. It's paying dividends. It's helping with tax breaks. I mean, it is the ultimate shelter. It is. It's perfect. It's the perfect investment. So, of course, a smart person would want to be involved in that.
Can you imagine, though, and I hate that I'm even going to say this hypothetically because it's just talking about something that's not happening, a 0% chance of it happening. Can you imagine if Snyder sold the Redskins to Bezos? The reaction in town would be to that?
The euphoria. The euphoria.
What? How would it even happen? It wouldn't. You know, what would lead to that? It wouldn't. It's just not happening. But I guess at some point he could just decide he's tired of being the villain. I don't think he even knows he's the villain. That's the problem.
I really believe that he's insulated.
Yeah, he does not pay attention or care what people think. And I think even if he heard it, even if he tuned into the radio show for the first time ever one day randomly and he said, oh, my goodness, this is what people think of me?
Oh, good heavens.
I think he'd go, they're wrong. They don't know what's going on.
They're peons. I'm above them. I'm smarter. I'm the one who owns the team, not them. I figured out how to get to this point, and they didn't.
I'd be curious to hear, though, from anybody who's willing to admit when they heard this first report that Bezos wanted to buy an NFL team, if you were one of the folks that right away said, he should buy the Redskins, which is just not going to happen.
You know what he should do?
It seemed like that was the common refrain in town. 800-636-1067 is the number. On Grant and Danny, you're listening to The Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. I was just talking to the guys. We were just kind of tossing around what a Bezos-led Redskins team would look like.
Again, you can't help but dream. I get it, man.
It's not worth doing it. And here we are doing it.
But we do it.
I heard the junkies talking about this, and I'm rolling my eyes going, why are you doing this?
I know. I love those guys to death, and I'm in my car going, but everyone needs to say before they talk each time, we know this is not possible, but, right? But you can't help but dream. Honestly, it's one of those things where, I mean, remember that scenario that Steinberg came up with, right, where we had that, ended up with a fierce debate, would you give up the Redskins for like 2 or 3 years, or like move to another city if it meant you had a chance to start over? But they'd still be the Redskins. And like for me, it's a no-brainer. For other people, they go, no, it's not worth it. I mean, all the end game of that is, the big picture is, what if it's not Dan Snyder? How do, because my Fire Bruce Allen tweets every day. I'm 100% assured that, Dan Snyder would probably screw up and hire somebody else that just agreed with him and made him feel like a big tough guy. But at least there's a chance.
So
all Redskins fans want is a chance.
I'll follow your rule and say this will never happen. It doesn't matter, and it's not worth talking about. But what we were discussing was, like, yeah, but if Bezos took over, then, I mean, would it really be that different? And my point is, I think if anyone took over, it'd be different. Because here's what you'd do. The first person he hires is an adult who runs the football operation. And for the first time in almost 30 years, that person would show up and would have full autonomy and control to do whatever they wanted. Assuming, correctly, Jeff Bezos said, listen, I don't really know football. You could teach me football, that's cool. But you do whatever you think you need to do to help set a culture. We're starting over, clean slate. You do what you got to do. And whoever that person is, you know, it wouldn't be Shanahan again or anybody like that, but a Shanahan-ish, Holmgren-ish type, somehow you Bill Belichick-ish guy, whoever that is, you bring that person in, and they walk around Redskins Park, and they tell a bunch of people to pack up their boxes and to get out. No one's ever really been able to do that as much as they want. Just wave a wand and say, you're gone, you're gone, you're gone, you stay, you're gone. And everything they say goes. And you clean house and you start over.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the dream, I would say. But the reason it won't happen is, why would Dan Snyder sell this
team? He's going to clutch this thing until that's it.
He's, at the end of the day, he's two things. A diehard Redskins fan.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you like him or not, whether you think he's a good owner or not, what you have to admit is this guy is a diehard Redskins fan who used to sleep in his little Redskins woody footy pajamas, right? His little onesie. Loves this team. He's not selling them. He wants to sit in that owner's box for the rest of time. That's number one. Number two, Dan Snyder is a business person. Now, he might not be that good of one based on what we can see. Look what he did with the radio stations that he owned.
Johnny Rockets,
Johnny
Six
Rockets,
Flags, the
I'm
mattress
sure
company,
Flags
whatever.
Is still doing well. I mean, it's not all good, but at some point he struck gold with that telemarketing company, whatever that was. Telecommunications, I don't even know. Made all the money in the world and bought the team as his mid-30s. You don't get that kind of money by giving up things like the Washington Redskins when all they're going to do, they could lose for the next 10 years in perpetuity. They're just going to keep becoming worth more and more and more and more.
And the thing is about it is a lot of investments, for example, not to get too nitty-gritty into the investments, it's like a Saturday morning show on like a weird station. But most of the time, you put your money in, and you either have to leave it in there where you can't use it, or you get it out either at a profit, loss, whatever, right? The Redskins, an NFL team, it's different. You still have the cash on hand so that you can have your driver, your private chef, your helicopters, your chopped down trees in front of your lawn so that you can see the river. You can get your park ranger fired, all the rest. You can still do that, and the value still goes up. It's unique in that way. Most of the time, investments just sit there.
It's untouchable.
And you check your portfolio like old Cakesy every day, seeing what went up and what went down.
You call your money guy and you
Not him.
Oh, we're down 120 bucks this month. Dan Snyder looks, and every time he looks, it just grows and it grows and it
grows. I got cash and I got a valuation.
Casey's in D.C. on Grant and Danny. What's up, Casey?
Good morning, guys. I just wanted to say I wasn't necessarily super optimistic going into this year. I did think we'd win four or five games. I don't think that's the case now. But what I didn't realize until this year, the way I've realized it, is that I thought that some of our talent that we have could overcome deficiencies in other areas. And when I say deficiencies, you know, whether it be coaching or front office, and I've really realized that you need that great coaching. You need that foundation in the front office to get the most out of the guys that you have, even if they're super talented. And you're seeing this year so many guys on the team not playing to their level of talent. Whereas you look around the league at other teams that, you know, may have a little less talent or maybe equal talent, but because their front office and their organization is run in a professional way, they're getting more out of their players.
There's no doubt. And we talked about this before the show today. Nobody's saying the Redskins are talented enough that they should win 9 or 10 games. Not with their quarterback situation, not with their lack of weapons on offense, but they shouldn't be 1 in the season. They shouldn't be 1-8 on their way to...
Right, there's happy medium there.
2 or 3 wins. The only people who had the Redskins winning 3 games this year are the same publications that every single year say they're going to go 3-13 when they go 8-8 or 7-9. Craig Hoffman, our Redskins beat reporter, caught up with Trent Williams on Friday. We'll ask him about that, get some thoughts on the Jets game coming up now in 6 days. Is it a certainty that Dwayne Haskins will start for the rest of the season, assuming health? Plus, at 11:18, we'll get into the Nats GM meetings out in Arizona. They've got two of the three best free agents. The free agency is set to begin. The latest on Rendon and Strasburg right here on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.